I'm from New Orleans. I was born at Truro Hospital, about 5 blocks away from where I live.
And you were raised on a commune?
I was raised in an urban commune that was kind of based on alternative ideas of living, but not a religious commune. A whole lot of different types of thinking, and the idea was that everybody would raise the kids, but sometimes what happened was nobody was raising the kids. We ran wild. At the same time, I also went to an alternative school, so I was kind of really raised outside of the mainstream.
Your materials are diverse, experimental, and very much a part of your concept, from rosin to what seemed to be x-rays. Were you always this experimental?
Yes.
Could you also consider yourself a sculptor?
I do primarily consider myself a sculptor, although this last year or so I've been doing more 2D stuff, which I hadn't done in years and years.
But that affects the 3D.
It all affects each other. It really does.
You explore many issues, maybe going back to your sociology and to your commune living, these issues of gender, religion, politics. Would you consider yourself a political artist?
I think because I'm alive and aware, I'm political, and that if you consider yourself not political, then you're not really alive.
A humanist?
Yes.
Your work feels very personal, yet detached, intimate, yet clinical, and sometimes autobiographical. Are you observing the world, or are you looking at yourself?
I think it's both. I realize that one has to observe the world through their own paradigm, and I've had a lot of diverse things happen in my life, and I think it's given me the ability to kind of look outside of myself and see things from different points of view, even though really when it comes down to it, they're still all my point of view.
Is it important for you to tell a story? Your work feels narrative sometimes.
When you make a piece and you put it out there, you're not there to tell everybody what it is each time. And if you were, you would be a writer and not an artist. And I really enjoy pieces that you can go up to and look at and find your own story and your own narrative in it.
Your work also feels connected to medical illustration.
Yes. First time I ever saw medical illustration, I was about 7 years old, and I was up in my aunt's house. She lives in a small town in Georgia. My brother and I pulled out these ancient books and opened them and were just intrigued but grossed out. It's become a lifelong fascination with it, the way things are depicted, but also in the human condition as
well. What about
well.
Surgical procedure?
It fascinates me, and perhaps it's because I've undergone it.
Open heart surgery?
Mm-hmm.
At what age?
I had it in 1999, so 34.
In your Dust to Dust series, you actually use powder on glass, creating imagery that could resemble x-rays that you've installed in the shape of a cross. Describe the process and concept of this piece, Dust to Dust.
I took pieces of glass, cleaned them off, and then I touched the glass with my body, leaving a latent print, as a criminal does, or anybody does, when they touch something. And then I took fingerprint powder and raised the print until the figure arose, and I did it in the form of a crucifix, wanting to play on the tension between science and religion. I found the fingerprint a scientific way of showing that something is left once you're gone. So whereas the religious aspect, you know, dealing with the soul and going to heaven and there's something that remains of you, there's also a scientific way of showing that somebody was once there that isn't anymore.
The Water Bearer is a beautiful little sculpture of what looks like a toddler with an oversized skull. And you tend to find beauty in the grotesque. How far back in art history could you refer to the grotesque as beautiful imagery?
As far back as you can go, perhaps. I'm very influenced by what I call religious torture art. I wasn't raised religiously at all, and I find a big fascination, especially with like Catholic images of people being tortured. I think it's really ironic that on one hand you have this very peaceful Christ figure, and on the other hand, they choose to depict the torture aspects of what happened. It boggles my mind, I guess.
Regarding Christ.
Regarding Christ and, well, and St. Sebastian and all the saints that had their breasts chopped off, pulled their eyes out, and all those kind of martyrdom type things. And those very heavily influenced me. It's a fascination from afar, I guess, because a lot of people at first think I'm a tortured Catholic who's been reformed and rejected the religion, and it's not at all that.
Is it important to you for your viewers to empathize or to use their imaginations when looking at your work?
Imaginations. I think that I've done my job as an artist if they leave and are still thinking about it.
How would you like a viewer to react to one of your sculptures titled The Virgin, which is a Mother Mary type who is with child?
That piece I did because everybody thinks about Mary as the Virgin Mary, and yet she was pregnant and went through something all women that are pregnant go through, and nobody thinks about that aspect of her life.
What kind of response did you receive from that piece?
Usually I get smiles from women. Women smile.
Looking at your body of work, you can feel the diversity of the materials and how resourceful you are, making use of anything at your fingertips. How do found objects figure into your work?
A lot of my earlier work was almost totally found objects. I felt like things that were very used or worn had a certain energy in them, not to sound New Age, but just by being used so much, and that you could take different pieces and put them together and still have that energy but create something new. After a while, even though I still use found pieces in my work, I became more intrigued with using unusual materials.
How will Katrina affect your philosophy about art and art making?
Katrina falls in line with other things that have happened, like my open heart surgery. For me, was facing my own mortality, which is something that most people go through at some point in their lives, where they realize that they're not going to be alive forever and that this too will end. And I think New Orleans has faced its own mortality and has realized that there could be an end as well. So I think it's not only affected me, but affected our city as a whole. New Orleans has always had this decaying mansion look to it, the little dirtiness to the city that I really love. And when I go to other cities, like I went to Singapore and spent a couple of days in Singapore and just hated it because it was so clean. There was not a weed in the sidewalk, and it made me feel uncomfortable and nervous. And I realized, you know, when I came home to New Orleans, I realized what it was. I like the layers of life. You could see people live here. It is used and loved and worn.
Jessica Goldfinch will open in a two-person exhibition titled Iconic Anomalies at Palma Gallery in August for White Linen Night. For 89.9 WWNO and Louisiana Artist, I'm Jacqueline Bishop.